It has been 4 years since the so-called Arab Spring began, from Tunisia to Bahrain. So which country stands tall and successful in the aftermath, especially where security and violence is concerned? Libya? Egypt? Yemen? Well, not really. As a matter of fact, not one single country has come out of the uprisings or revolutions as being successful. But why? Are these countries still going through the growing pains, or are foreign hands at play to make sure that the status quo returns, like in the case of Egypt? Well, in this debate, we'll discuss why chaos, instead of successful reforms, is prevailing, and what role has Saudi Arabia and the United States played in this counter-revolution, a repeated charge leveled against them when the uprisings and revolutions first began in North Africa and the Middle East.
Following the refusal by the expired National Council to meet the people's demands, the High Council of the Armed Forces called on the High Judicial Council in charge to meet the army's demands for civil and political stability in Libya and asked them to form a High Council to rule the country.
The renegade Libyan Army General Khalifa Haftar speaking at a press conference in the North African country. Haftar has been staging what many these days call an attempted coup against the Libyan revolution, which put an end to the decades-long rule of former dictator Muammar Gaddafi. Officials in Tripoli are angry with the former general these days. His forces, backed by warplanes, helicopters and rocket fire, send Libyan lawmakers running for their lives as they ransacked the parliament and demanded its suspension a few days ago. Haftar claims his sole aim is to rid Libya of militants, but many have serious doubts about the claim. Haftar is particularly notorious among Libyans and elsewhere for being what they describe as a CIA asset. A U.S. pawn, as they call him, he is said to be aiming to further the U.S. agenda in Libya more than 3 years after Gaddafi's downfall, who himself is said to have had friendly relations with Washington in his dying years in power. On the face of it, the U.S. says it does not condone or support Haftar's actions. In Egypt, another North African country which saw the overthrow of yet another dictator amid a popular uprising in 2011, observers believe the revolution has already failed. President Mohamed Morsi was elected in 2012 in Egypt's first democratic election ever. He was soon toppled by the military under the former army chief Abdel for president in the election on May 26 and 27. Supporters of the 2011 revolution against Mubarak have condemned Sisi's candidacy in the vote, calling it a coup against the uprising. Sisi, who is seen as the new face of the notorious Falul, which is Arabic for old gods, enjoys support from the US and Saudi Arabia. Riyadh, itself described as a dictatorship by activists and rights groups, has opposed the popular uprising in the Middle East and North Africa. Analysts believe that the overall scenario in Libya, Egypt and perhaps elsewhere is to reverse revolutions against despots who served the US interests in the region for decades while depriving their own people of the basic rights to freedom and democracy.
So why haven't these countries that have experienced these revolutions been successful in their uprising? Let me introduce our guest to find out why. Abiyomi Ezekiwe, editor of Pan-African Newswire, joins us from Detroit. And from Cairo, we have Saeed Sadek. He is the professor of political sociology who joins us. Gentlemen, welcome. Abiyomi Ezekiwe, let's take a look at Libya first. The country, the way it's been described, lawlessness, ripe with terrorists, extremists, overflowing with arms, without a strong central government. What is going on in this country years after Gaddafi's ouster?
Well, there's a clear breakdown in the internal security of Libya. There has not been a consistent, stable government established since 2011. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the NATO Pentagon bombing of the country destroyed the internal infrastructure. The collection of groups that were put together to replace the Jemahiriya government have not received any form of assistance from the general population in terms of stabilizing the country. So therefore, what we have is consistent instability, chaos, not only against the citizens and residents of Libya, but also against foreign nationals. For example, embassies which are stationed in the country have come under attack. There have been diplomats kidnapped by these various rebel groups inside Libya. And the country has fractured along regional lines. There are efforts in the eastern part of the country to break away from Tripoli. The government in Tripoli is extremely unstable. There have been numerous coup d'etats just over the last several months. So I think that the United States and NATO efforts in overthrowing the Gaddafi government has resulted in this type of instability, and it has spread throughout the entire region of North as well as West Africa. We had a situation in Mali a year and a half ago where the country fractured. It precipitated an internal invasion and occupation by France. We had a similar situation that took place in Algeria, where there were attacks against the En Amenas gas facility there a year ago. It has also spread into Niger, where France, as well as the United States, has considerable economic interests. So I don't believe that the intervention by the United States or NATO has done anything except fostered greater instability and underdevelopment in this region of Africa.
Okay, so I'm going to get back to you after I bring our guest in so he can have, take part in this debate about where these countries like NATO as a whole, and then you have the U.S. Perhaps, along with some of the other Western allies of the U.S., are now coming into these countries in terms of a counter-revolution. But let me turn to you, Saeed Sadek, and take a look at Egypt. You know, this country, after the ouster of Mubarak, first the Egyptians were against the army, then they liked the army, and at this point you have the first democratically elected president to have been ousted by the army in form of a coup. Can you tell us what's going on in Egypt?
Well, let me start first by saying it was not a coup. This was a second revolution, a second uprising in Egypt against an organization that has not been elected. People elected President Morsi to fulfill the objectives of the revolution. But when he failed to do that and he was taking the country into a very dangerous road, sectarianism, he was encouraging a discourse against the Shia. For the first time in Egyptian history, we had killings of Shia, lynching of Shia. And so it was not easy for the Egyptians to wait until the country, after 4 years, become like Somalia or like Libya or Iraq or Afghanistan. So there was a second true revolution that took place on the 30th of June, and that again led the army to intervene and do what it did in 2011 when it ousted President Mubarak. So
okay.
it was
I
the same situation.
I need to ask
situation.
You, at which point did the army decide that they were going to come in and, as you said, put aside this government, which many have called it a coup, and have an appointed, army-appointed government? At which point did they decide that after Mohamed Morsi came to power?
No. Everybody gave Morsi a period of time, 100 days, because he asked for 100 days to solve 5 chronic problems in Egypt. And then after 3 months, people felt that he has no clue. He was not the one ruling the country. It was a political bureau of the Muslim Brotherhood that was not elected. And it looked like President Morsi was a puppet in the hands of the organization that was leading the country into an unknown territory. And so people were scared. Women were scared. Religious minorities were scared. People who loved Egypt as a moderate country were scared that he was hijacking the revolution. And that's why on the 30th of June, there was a popular movement in the street. And if the army did not intervene and respond to what the Egyptians had done on the 3rd of July, Egypt would have fallen into a civil war, a true civil war, like what you have in Syria.
Very well.
And
very
that's
well.
Why
so
it
so
was,
let's
it,
find out. Let's find out from you, Abiyomi Azikiwe. Here you have a country, in this case, in point Egypt, that we're talking about. And, you know, they go through this revolution. And then our gentleman there from Cairo says they had to go through a second revolution. You know, sometimes one revolution is enough for a country. Don't you think that it's kind of odd that the army comes in, then you have the influence that Saudi Arabia, financially speaking, gave to the country? And, of course, after that, recently, we have the United States, of which it had freed the 10 Apache helicopters that it had promised, and it freed up some of the aid, of which, cumulatively, after Israel, Egypt gets the most aid of $1 billion. Do you think that this can be categorized as a way for Saudi Arabia, perhaps with America's consent, you can tell us, moved in to bring in the army, appoint its government, and at this point have Sisi run for the presidency?
Yes, we have to look at the history of the United States involvement in Egypt. We can go back some 35 years when there was a shift in Egyptian foreign policy under the Sadat government during the late 1970s, where they embarked upon a separate peace agreement with the State of Israel. In 1978, the so-called Camp David Accords were signed. And since this time period, Egypt has been heavily influenced and dominated by the United States. It's no secret that the aid that was given to Egypt by the United States, the bulk of it went to the Egyptian military. I don't think that's an accident. I think it was deliberate because Egypt played a very important role vis-a-vis U.S. foreign policy in North Africa and throughout the Middle East since the late 1970s. Now, in 2011, when there was an uprising inside the country, masses of people went into the streets. They were demanding the resignation of Hosni Mubarak. It was not the organizations that were in the street that seized power. It was the military, elements within the military, who seized power in Egypt in February of 2011, under the guise that there was going to be a political transition to a democratic government there. There were problems associated with that for well over a year. And then when the elections took place, the results were delayed in June of 2012. And then when Morsi was deemed to be president, there were still problems inside the country. The coup d'etat that took place on July 3rd of 2013, they claim it resulted from the Tamarod movement and other organizations that wanted to remove the Freedom and Justice Party from its governmental authority. But at the same time, again, it was not the popular organizations that stormed Morsi's office.